Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
So far we have covered fear not, experiencing God's promises in the face of doubt. We looked at Genesis 15, the life of Abraham. God promised to be his shield and his great reward. We looked at experiencing God's strength in times of weakness. We looked at the people of Israel in Isaiah chapters 41 and 43. April 17th, we looked at experiencing God's confidence in the face of insecurity. So we looked at the life of Gideon. Then on the 24th of April, we looked at experiencing God's presence in the midst of trials. Just as we represent Christ, how can God equip us and strengthen us to be a witness for Him in the midst of those things? Then last week, we talked about experiencing God's healing in the midst of infirmity, Luke chapter 8. And then next week, we're going to be talking about experiencing God's anointing to be a witness and to serve. So next week is Pentecost Sunday, May 15th. Today's the 8th. Today, we're going to look at experiencing God's provision in anxious times. Experiencing God's provision in the midst of anxious times. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. How many have ever felt anxious? Okay, yeah. Now, I never would have thought I was an anxious person, but we moved down to Springfield, Missouri, 2003. That's about when I realized I was an anxious person, and I took a Taylor Johnson temperament test. And guess what? I mean, it was a stressful time. We moved down from North Dakota, did that. We packed up and moved in 18 days down to Missouri. My wife had work lined up. I didn't have work lined up. I started working full-time on a master's degree. I'd already started, but I was going to complete it. Some stressful moments, okay? And so when I took my temperament test, guess what? Anxiety was like, they had to create more space at the top there, you know, so to register it. No, it wasn't, but it was high. And as I look back over my life, I realized, you know what? There were times in my life where anxiety was there, and I didn't recognize it. You know, it would come out in the, this is the way it would look like in real life, in that I would come into a very busy time in life, and all of a sudden my neck and my shoulders would be tied up in knots, so I couldn't move. You ever been there? Another time I felt it where I thought I was having a heart attack and had to go check myself into the emergency room, and they said, you just got acid reflux. Great. I mean, that's a good thing. It's better than a heart attack, right? And when I finished up my master's degree, it stopped. So, but we're influenced when we are anxious or have those stressors upon our life. It impacts how we live, how we sleep, our health in a lot of different ways. And Jesus talked about that in the previous verses here of chapter 12. He talks about greed and seeking after those things. And now he just talks about being anxious. And he even talks about then to fear not. Okay, and so that ties in with our passage and our series, To Fear Not. I want us just to begin with a word of prayer this morning before we dive into our message. Father, this morning we just thank you for your word. It is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray in these moments that you would take your word and allow it to speak into our heart and into our life. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God is saying to us. In the name of Jesus we ask, amen. We're going to begin in verse 22 of chapter 12. And Jesus said to his disciples. So who's Jesus speaking to? His disciples. So he's not talking to the crowds and the masses in this. And so I think that's interesting to note that as you're studying this, that as he had his group of followers, the 12 and probably other people that would be considered close to him, he begins to talk to them about anxiety. And he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And when it talks about your life, it's just not talking about life and death. It's talking about life as a whole. Okay? And he goes on to a few more details. What you will eat. Okay? Us guys like to know, hey, what are we going to eat tonight, right? Right? I want to know. I'm thinking ahead on what to eat, man. I want to, you know, tonight, tomorrow, whatever. I like to eat, okay? And I like food. All right? Food likes me sometimes, so. All right, yep, that's my favorite, ribeye, yes. But Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, or what you put on, clothes, right? For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Now, he has just talked about greed in the previous verses, and greed is worried about, I can never get enough, right? Greed says, I can never have enough. No matter how much I have, I can never have enough. Anxiety is worried about that we won't have enough. You see how they're closely related? Greed says, no matter how much I get, I don't have enough. But anxiety is worried to the place that it's more than just that it's affecting me. I'm losing sleep over it. I'm tense. I'm tight. I have other health issues that are showing up in my life. Maybe I'm even having anxiety attacks because I'm worried that I will not have enough. I'm not going to have enough food. I'm not going to have enough clothes. Okay? And there are times in life where we can be worried about that, all right? But this is what God has to say. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. In other words, life is bigger than these things that we think that we sometimes need. And I think what Jesus is getting at is he's not talking about just having enough food for our meal to put on the table or to have clothes, period. Often we're worried about having clothes that look nice and that make a statement or that are above and beyond us, or not just having food on the table, but having the fine choices food to provide. That is what the rest of the world is worried about. So Jesus says life is bigger than these things. You know what? You're not going to die if you miss a meal or two, right? And yet we worry about those things. And he goes to verse 24. He's going to give us like three different illustrations, metaphors, word pictures here in this passage. And the first one is the ravens. Okay, it's about the only time that the ravens are mentioned in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they play a crucial role with who? An Old Testament prophet by the name of Elijah. Remember Elijah? He prays and it doesn't rain. The famine comes across Israel. God takes him to this kind of hideaway place. And there's a spring there that has water. And guess who brings him food each day? The ravens. They bring him roadkill. I don't know. Maybe they did, but they probably took it out of the king's plate and brought it to Elijah. I think he ate well, but the ravens brought him food. I don't know if you would accept food from a raven, but that's how God provided for Elijah. Brought him beef jerky. Okay, all right. But he says, "Look at the ravens. They never sow or reap." Okay, you don't see a raven out there with his cedar. Okay. All right, working the land, putting in seed, right? You don't see him out there doing that, pulling weeds. But you know what? He's well fed and taken care of. God provides for a raven. And a raven was considered an unclean bird, okay? In other words, in the Old Testament, there was foods that were clean and some that were unclean. We talked about last week, just even for human beings, certain conditions caused them to be unclean if they touched a dead person. If they'd been around blood, it was made them unclean for a period of time. It made them so that they weren't allowed to go into the presence of God and to worship God until they were deemed clean. And so ravens were a food that, or a bird that were considered unclean. In other words, they weren't supposed to eat a raven or a crow. Okay? Now, we use that expression, yeah, they were eating crow, right? All right, that means you were pretty tough. You had to eat your words, right? You had some humble pie. Typically, you don't eat ravens, okay? I made a statement one day, don't eat possums, but somebody was from down south, and they said, what's wrong with eating possums? So, okay, I didn't grow up eating possum, all right. And most of the times we don't eat crows. In their terms, they were considered unclean. So they're, again, like the sparrows we mentioned a couple weeks ago, they weren't of high value. A raven wasn't, a crow isn't. But guess what? In our system, a raven isn't important. And we may think to God, a raven, you know what? Not important. But you know what? God takes care of the ravens. He provides for them. I just saw some yesterday on our walk. They were doing pretty good. They're up at Doan there. We even got owls living up there now. Pretty cool. But they're looking pretty good. They look healthy. Black, shiny. They're doing good. God is providing for them, and I didn't see them out there planting any fields. You know what God says? You know what? Just as I provide for the ravens, I'm going to provide for you. You, how much more are you of value than the birds, he says with an exclamation point. You are much more valuable than the ravens. Am I not going to also take care of you? Now he goes and gives us a second illustration. He goes, and which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? You ever tried that? Just being anxious and seeing how much longer you can add to your life, extend your life? Does it work? Has anxiety ever solved anything in your life? Other than giving you heartburn or making you tight and tense, giving you no sleep? Doesn't change anything, does it? It does not change a thing. And that leads us to our first point, is that anxiety changes nothing, right? Anxiety changes nothing. It does absolutely nothing. All it does is it causes us to get all worked up, and we then bear the consequences of that in our body in different shape. It usually manifests itself in different ways depending on how we are wired, okay? And how we are wired. But we cannot add a single hour to our life. And yet we worry about things. And so I think what God is trying to tell us is, you know what, be concerned about the things you can control. But the things you can't control, don't worry about. And see, the bottom line is, folks, you can plan. And I don't think God is saying don't plan. And I don't think God is saying don't be a good steward of what God's given you. I think God wants us to be a good steward of what he's given to us. Our time, our talent, our treasure. Be a good steward of it. Okay? But don't be all anxious and worried about the things you cannot control. You can plan and save for the future. You can have that emergency plan. You can have retirement. Guess what? It can be gone in a day, in a moment. Right? You can build a nice house. You can have all the nice things, and in a moment, it can be gone. Okay? You don't have control over some of those things. You can plan. You can prepare, but you can't control. But guess what? You could be penniless in one moment, the next minute, be wealthy. Okay? That happens too. And you don't have control over that a bit, but who does? God does. Be a steward of what God has placed within your care, but do not worry yourself sick or be anxious about the things that you cannot control within your own life, because anxiety cannot change a thing. Okay. All right, I need to get back to where I was at. If we are unable to do such a small thing as add to our life, why are you so anxious about the rest? Consider illustration number 3, the lilies of the field, and how they grow. They neither toil or spin. You ever seen a lily out there just working really hard to make a flower look good? Just really, you know, sweating and stressing it out, saying, oh, I have to produce a flower today, right? You don't see that. And the point that Jesus is getting, you know what, we go out and we'll take pictures of a field, of wildflowers, lilies, tulips. What's your favorite flower? Daisies, irises, lilacs. We go out and we take pictures of them because of their beauty. It's just natural beauty, right? Solomon in all his glory, it says, he was a king, he had all the wealth. He wasn't dressed as well as the flowers of the field. You know what? God provides their natural beauty and provides for them the water, the nourishment that they need to be what they are, beautiful and precious. And if God provides for the lilies of the field, guess what? He's going to also provide for you. He says, you know what? God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and gone tomorrow, and it's thrown into the oven and burned. How much will he clothe you? And then he kind of says, oh, you of little faith. It really comes down to faith and trust, doesn't it? See, anxiety does not change a thing. But this is what, let's move on here, verse 29. This is what God calls us to do. And so do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink or be worried, okay, what you're going to eat or drink. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. Okay? That's what the world. In other words, people that don't have God, that don't have a faith and trust in God, that God is going to provide for them, they seek after these things. In fact, you have neighbors, you have people you work with that are running themselves ragged and pushing it to the limit because they don't just want to have food on their table or clothes to wear. They want to have the top of the line clothes, or they want to have the big house, or they want to have the nice car. And so they run themselves ragged. And they're worrying themselves sick so that they can have and keep up. Am I getting my point across? I think that's what Jesus is talking about. The nations seek after these things. Your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. See, it's just getting the right things in priority, right, in order. When these things are the things that we seek after instead of God, we don't get the right results. But when we seek God, God is going to provide for our family, for the needs that we have, and He's going to go before us. And so the second point, get caught up with my notes. Second point is to seek God, not things. Seek God, not things. And then it's interesting, he says not to just seek God, but he says seek His what? Kingdom. What's that about? Seek God's kingdom. In the Gospels, it talks about a lot about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come to earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is that talking about? It's talking about not only just seeking God, but seeking His authority, His rulership within our life. That just as we live in the United States of America, we submit ourselves to our government, right? There's guidelines, there's rules that we have to live by. A lot of you just paid your taxes here back in April, right? Or maybe before, right? You did that not because you love to pay taxes. You did it because you're part of our government, our society, right? Right? And so you paid taxes. What else? Maybe you had to register your vehicle. I had to do that here just this past week. I had to register my vehicle. Why? Because I'm part of this nation. Okay, I have to submit myself to this kingdom, this nation that I'm a part of. In the same way, when we seek God's kingdom, it means that I'm seeking His authority in my life. I want Him to rule on the heart of my life because I know what is best for me. Okay? That as I align myself with His teachings in Scripture, I'm going to reap some benefits. And I'm going to come back to that, okay? But understand that when it says seek His kingdom, it's more than just seeking God. It's seeking His lordship in my life. That I just don't want God to come into my life and save me, but I want Him to rule and reign in my life. And that I'm willing to yield my life to His principles that are found within His Word, to align myself with His teachings. Seek God, seek His kingdom, not things. And if we do that, God will provide for our needs, just like He does the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Your life is to be different from the rest of the world around you. People should look at your life and say, wow, you know what? They're so peaceful. How can they be so peaceful? They don't seem to be worried about anything. Why is that? Because you're living according to what God says in His Word. Because a lot of the people that you know, the neighbors, the co-workers, your fellow students are worried. They're dealing, it doesn't always come out, but it's evident there of how they're living their life. And they can see it in yours if you're living according to God's kingdom. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock. That's kind of interesting. He's talking to his disciples, right? It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Here he talks about kingdom. It's God's good pleasure that God wants to give you the kingdom. So whenever we live in a country, a nation, under a kingdom, there are taxes to pay. There are things that we have to agree upon. We have to align with. But you know what? Why do people come to America? Why? Freedom? Yeah, and some would even say religious freedom, right? But freedom? What else? Opportunity? That you can come here, you can get a good wage, maybe good health care, security. That's the thing I think we take for granted in America, just the security, and it's not perfect, but we have security, we have protection here. That in some areas of the world, you live in fear of what's going to happen in the streets or happen at night. We have security. Those are some of the things that are benefits of the kingdom, of the country we live within. When we align ourselves with God and put Him first, it is God's good pleasure that He wants you to give you the benefits of living under His care, under His kingdom. So what are some of those benefits? What do you think some of those benefits are? Anybody know? Not a trick question. Okay, peace, joy, love. Aren't those the fruit of the Spirit as God rules and reigns in our life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. What about salvation? What about forgiveness of sins? Those are all benefits of living under God's kingdom. What about heaven? Eternity with Him. Those are all benefits of living. And it is God's good pleasure as the Father, He wants to give these gifts to us. But it usually involves us putting Him first. As we put Him first, He then will provide the benefits that come from putting Him first in our lives. So He says, fear not. That's what our series is about, fear not. It is God's good pleasure. God wants to give you His best. And I think sometimes that when people think about serving God, they think that God's going to take from them. You know, here God wants me to tithe, He wants me to give, and God just wants to get. God actually wants to teach us. God wants to teach us how to be generous, how to give, how to be a vessel that He can flow through to touch our world. He's trying to teach us that. And see, here's the big catch. He says, fear not, because I'm going to provide for you. But he goes into this next part. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where thieves cannot approach and moths cannot destroy. Now, I don't think God is calling us to poverty here, okay? I think He is calling us to generosity. Now, can a person be generous if you're fearful that you're not going to have enough? Can you be generous? You can. See, fear causes us to hold on tightly. Man, we can just white knuckle it, can't we? It's red now, but it'll turn white, okay? We just hold on to it tight because we're afraid that we're not going to have enough. But if we have a loving Father up above and we know that we can trust God with our lives, with all that we have, we can be His hands and His feet. We can minister to people around us. whether it's somebody that just needs a helping hand, providing through the church, through the ministries. But we can be generous, right? Because we know that God is going to provide for us. If we don't have that hope, if we don't trust God in that way, we're going to hold on tightly because we're fearful that we're never going to have enough. The last principle is Jesus encourages us to replace fear with generosity. Replace fear with generosity. I'm going to have the musicians come, and Sarah, I'm going to have you. Jesus closes this passage with a statement, just kind of a stinger. You know what I mean by a stinger? He says, "For where your treasure is, there your what is? Your heart. Where your treasure is, there is your heart." Now, he's not talking about your physical heart. He's talking about the heart is just the center of who we are. Okay? What we crave, what we seek, and what we long after. And see, Jesus brings it around. He says, you know what? The world, their heart is seeking after other things. That's where their treasure is, okay? Now, if you want to know where somebody's heart is, just look at their credit card statement or their checkbook. That tells you, or a log of where they spent their time. That tells you where our heart is, okay? And that's not for me to point a finger at you. Okay, are you to point a finger at me? That's for us to look at our own life and say, where is my heart? Because we can tell, because we invest, we spend money on things that are important for us. If you like fine clothes and you want those and you can never have enough, it's going to be evident by not only your wardrobe, but it's going to be evident by your how you spent your money, right? If you like fine food, like going out, it's going to be evident. It's going to be evident by what you pay. Okay? And it's going to show up. All right? They're going to help us out here at the end here. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If we are generous and we give towards the things of God, guess what? It shows that's where our heart is, right? The God, our heart is with God. You guys need to hold on to those, okay? You need to hold on to them, all right? You need to, Christopher, you need to hold on to them, all right? You can see where their heart is, all right? All right? They have a special gift for moms. So I'm going to have the musicians come. And they have a, what they did is they did some Mother's Day cards for moms, so. We're going to close with a word of prayer. The message this morning is that we can know God's provision in anxious times. How? By trusting God, right? Anxiety doesn't change a thing. Absolutely nothing. But by trusting God and putting Him first in our lives, God says, you know what? You put me first. I'm going to provide for you in ways that are beyond you. And what I find in life is many times we hold on, we try to control what we have, and we hold on to it instead of releasing it to God and trusting Him. And I believe there's those blessings and provision that we are missing out on because we don't trust God enough with what we have. And if we'll release that to Him, He's going to provide for us in ways that we don't understand. I can go back over our life, and there's times that we've taken steps of faith in the giving. And the one time that just really stands out for me is when we were in Springfield, and it was just, there wasn't a lot of money. It was very tight for us. And I remember the one time God was challenging us. One of my cousins was going on to the mission field, and God, Amy and I talked about it, and we felt like we should support her personally. It's only $25 a month. But when you don't have $25, $25 is a lot, isn't it? But we took that step that we're going to trust God. And Judy will be with us. She just got married, and she's in the Ukraine as a missionary. She's going to be with us here the first Sunday in June. But we took that step, $25 a month. 2 days later, I come to work, and guess what? I got a raise. That was like 10 times more than the $25 I agreed to make. You think God knows those things? I think He does. I didn't see that coming, but God did. I think if we're willing to trust Him with those things, He wants to provide us the benefits of the kingdom. God has called us to live different from the world, folks. He's called us to live different from the world. And it's only as we align ourselves with Scripture and with His Word that the world is going to see that there's something different and say, I want that in my own life. Amen? Would you stand this morning? We're going to sing a hymn of the church that I think just talks about God's faithfulness, and it talks about what we talked about today. If you know that, sing it loud this morning, and let us just sing it as a prayer unto God this morning. Just praise unto Him.